Hello and welcome. You are tuned into the Money Control podcast series FutureWise, where we bring you the latest and upcoming trends in education and careers. I am your host, M. Saraswati, and today we have with us a very special guest, Arjun Nair, co-founder of Great Learning. Now, a lot of us have gone through e-learning programs over the last couple of months amidst the lockdown. There have been a lot more programs coming in, and companies themselves are encouraging people to go for these upskilling programs so that this helps them later in their career. But there is a lot of issues with respect to the digital education framework that is being offered across players in India. So let us discuss how is it that edtech players can make it more effective. Hi Arjun, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Saraswati. It's great to be here.
So Arjun, first of all, we understand now more number of students are coming in, but is there some sort of a digital fatigue that is being faced? So how is it that, e-learning can be made more engaging for the students?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And I think that's absolutely right. Because in a physical class, it's actually not incomprehensible to think of somebody sitting there for 6 or 8 hours. But online, it's just not the same. You just cannot sit for 6 or 8 hours in a day and then take classes. Similarly, when you start extending that day in and day out, there is definitely going to be digital fatigue. But that said, there are ways in which we can overcome it. There are ways in which you can make it engaging and make it more interesting, because it is solving a real problem that exists right now. So we need to see how to make it work. So I can talk about a few tips that generally I've seen great faculty members use. Mm-hmm. So one, of course, to have great content, that goes without saying. But related to that is to plan everything in advance and keep it very organized. So you may, while in a class, you may need to teach for 6 hours the same topic. If you keep everything organized and keep it very short and crisp, you may be able to cover the same set of topics within half the time. And you try to take the flipped classroom approach, where you record some content and give it in advance. And during the live sessions, you keep that more for discussion, engagement, doubt clearing, peer interaction, faculty interaction. So this is the flipped classroom approach. So that's one way to make it interesting rather than just have a one-way communication happening during these live sessions. Now, great faculty always do this in class. And I always encourage faculty members to do this, which is to actually crack jokes, interact with the students, show images, show videos, tell stories, figure out ways to connect. Sometimes when faculty members or teachers switch to the online mode, they kind of forget the things that they do in the class that makes that very interesting class happen. So I encourage them to carry those things forward, but with it being more crisp and very well planned and sequenced. Now, if you are going to use things around Excel or any kind of Word documents or whatever it is that you're showing, PowerPoint presentations and so on, it's very important to keep it organized. Because what I've seen is, in the class, if you're in a physical class, if you took a 30-second break, nobody is going to get up and go away and get a glass of water. But online, if you have to take 30 seconds to find the material that you want to use, somebody might switch the video off and go get a glass of water, and that's actually lost. You've lost that candidate or the student. So it's very important to keep everything organized, and you're going at a very crisp and fast pace, so the students are paying attention. But along with that, you need to have the breaks at the appropriate time to do polls, to do quizzes, to engage the students. Imagine as if they are right in front of you, talk to them, and decide whether you are addressing a large group or a small group. Because the tactics are different. If you are addressing a group of 10, 15, 20 students, ask them to keep their video on, talk to them one-on-one, tell them to speak up. Whereas if you're addressing about 100 people or 50 to 100 people, then you may need to do this on chat and you may need to have a moderator. So there are lots of tips and tricks that you can use to keep it engaging.
Arjun, you also mentioned the whole peer discussion bit as well. So it typically is advisable to go for group sessions, right, rather than the one-on-one learning programs, which is also offered.
Yeah, so that actually depends a lot on the context. So if you were going to, of course, let's say when you're talking about online learning, e-learning, it spreads across many different areas. Now, let's say if you were going to teach a concept, and there is application, then group settings are wonderful because people get to learn from each other. And what that's one of the actual benefits of going into any kind of physical class. It's about learning from each other, creating that atmosphere where there is learning can happen. There is peer interaction, social interaction. All of those things are very important for learning to happen, right? And sometimes when people just learn from content, and that's why YouTube by itself will not work as a very good learning source, because how long will you learn on your own? So it's very important to have group dynamics happen when you are in that setting. But in some cases, it's actually beneficial not to have a group. So you may need to have a mix of both. For example, let's say you're teaching, you know, online piano or music, where you need to give that attention one-on-one to the student, and in which case only a one-on-one setting might be possible. Or even in the professional or higher education, or even for kids, let's say you're counseling them on which career path they need to choose, then of course you'll have to have one-on-one interaction. So you need to use technology and the appropriate mode of delivery based on what is it that you're trying to accomplish. And if you are going to teach a certain concept, definitely have it in a group setting where there is interaction, social interaction, peer pressure, peer learning, all the good things that contribute towards learning outcomes.
Okay. When it comes to great learning, what are the steps that you have been taking to make e-learning more engaging? Do you have like caps on the classroom?
Yeah, so we actually do a lot of things around making our programs engaging. You know, starting from doing a lot of training for our faculty members around, I mean, and I'm trying to compress what I would do, let's say, in 1 or 2 hours. So I do a lot of faculty training. In fact, there are a number of free programs that we've put out online around faculty training on how to make videos and how to make their classes engaging through some of the tips that I talked about earlier, how to create content, how to organize their material, how to use animations at the appropriate time, split it into smaller chunks. So there are a lot of training programs that we do for faculty, not just at Great Learning, but we are doing it for many of our academic institutions where we are training them. So that's one. Now, the second aspect is many faculty members are not aware of the technology that needs to be used for this. So they think that, let's say, a Google Meet or some kind of live conferencing tool is enough, Skype, to deliver an engaging online class. But that's not the case. To deliver an engaging online class, you need a full technology infrastructure, which starts all the way from being able to provide a unique link to the students so that there are no other students coming in who are not supposed to be part of the session and distracting everybody, to then making sure that you can track attendance at a granular level and ensure that the students are there, to then creating these polls and quizzes and other little elements that make it interesting for the students to participate. So there is a combination of both the process of how to deliver these live classes and also the technology that needs to be used to deliver it, not just the live classes, but also what you are going to do beyond the live classes that is engaging. And that's an important point to think about, because many times when people think of e-learning, they think of just live classes. But live classes, when that's coupled with recorded content, and this is the flipped classroom approach that I talked about earlier, it's very powerful. So it's really about, and when you take the flipped classroom approach, you need to give them activities for them to do every week. So, you know, these could be short quizzes, these should be group activities, online discussions, you know, assessments, project submissions, and many, many things you can design using an online learning management system, and give those activities and track whether students are engaging with those different activities that you've given. Because all of that is possible using technology, and give very personalized guidance and feedback to students. So we do all of these pieces. All of these things have to come together: the training of the faculty members, the use of technology for not just delivering live classes, but also engaging students throughout the time when they're taking a course, not just the online component, but offline also when you're learning from recorded videos and so on. And then finally, of course, giving them the ability to track and interact with each other.
Okay. But would you also think that there are still some challenges that you would face?
Yes, absolutely. Right. The biggest challenge that, you know, we face, and this is because of the internet issue. Right. And that's something that is not entirely in our control. Right. The internet issue in the sense that there are the technology, these things that we can do, but there are things that also infrastructure wise has to be available. there is a certain bandwidth that is required. There is a certain bandwidth that needs to be there at the student's end. Then, of course, the students need to have the appropriate laptop, or they need to have the appropriate, you know, infrastructure in the form of, if it's mobile phones, then they need that. They need all of this infrastructure in place. And that's not always possible. So that's usually the challenge that we face.
Okay. Just one last question from my side, Arjun. In this whole e-learning space, as far as, you know, making it more engaging is concerned, apart from technology, would you think, you know, the teachers, how the teachers kind of structure the curriculum and how they deliver the daily classroom lessons make the most of the difference?
Yes. So, you know, you're absolutely right. And that's a general, it's a combination of both. It's not just the technology. It's also the process that need to be followed. And there are some things that directly translate from the offline physical world into the online world when a teacher is to deliver a class. But there are many things that do not, right? And those things are the ones that I talked about in terms of process, that the teacher needs to, you know, set everything up front, have a certain agenda that they are going to do, you know, complete it with a certain period of time, use the flipped classroom approach, which is going to be more effective. So there is a process that they need to follow, and there are best practices around that. So the teachers have to be trained. So one aspect is training. And, you know, the other aspect, and when I interact with, you know, HODs, principals, and so on, another aspect that I hear a lot from, you know, the heads of institutions or departments is that there is a mindset that needs to be there as well. And not all teachers are like this, of course. Many teachers have a mindset of wanting to learn and then starting from the beginning. But generally, that's actually part of the problem, right? Many times teachers think, especially those who have been teaching for a very long time, come in with a certain notion that, you know, they know what they need to do. But the reality is this is a different world. Online is a different world. So they may need to leave some of what they know earlier behind and adopt to a new normal, a new technology-led world where the processes are different. So some teachers are fantastic at this. They quickly make the transition. They're willing to learn. You know, they're just so open. In fact, a lot of teachers are like that. A lot of teachers and professors that I spoke to are just eager to learn, get the feedback, you know, understand what they need to do to succeed. But some other teachers need to be nudged pretty strongly by the heads of departments to start learning again. They themselves have to learn a bit on how they can use technology, what do they need to do differently, how do you actually use technology? Because there is a technology challenge to be overcome. It's not just about live classes using Skype or you know, Google Meet or Zoom or whatever it is. There are other things beyond that, as we talked about, that they need to know. So there is a teacher training that is required, and there is a training on mindset that is required. But this is the future, right? Ultimately, that is how it's going to play out. Even after this whole COVID-19 situation improves, what would have taken, you know, 15, 20 years has actually accelerated right now into this 6 months, 1 year. And almost every school and college and institution that I've been speaking to is actually thinking about blended learning, which means that some part of the learning will be in class and some part is going to be online, because it just solves one a part of problem around access and convenience, and you are able to create better outcomes. So the point is, teachers have to learn. It is going to stay. Online learning is going to stay. It may not be 100% as it is today. It will be blended, but it is important that teachers are able to change their mindset. Teachers are able to learn what they need to, both from a technology as well as process perspective, to make the most of what they need to do.
Thank you, Arjun, for all those insights.
Thank you so much, Saraswati.
I hope the audience gained some valuable insights on how to make e-learning programs more engaging. That wraps up today's episode of FutureWise. If you listeners want us to cover any topic or have any comments to share, please write to us on mcpodcast@nw18.com. For more news, views, and other updates, stay logged on to moneycontrol.com. Thanks for listening.